Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 11 of Revelation chapter 8, and we're going to be reading Revelation 8, verses 7 and 8. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. We've been discussing verse 7 for a few studies now, and we're at the last part of the verse that says, and the third part of trees was burned up. And we saw in our last study how God uses trees to typify the church. And, of course, the fact that they're burned up is an indicator of his wrath upon the congregations. And then it says, and all green grass was burned up. And this is a little surprising that God would say all green grass. After all, this is a chapter where the focus is upon the third part. It's the third part of trees and the third part of the sea and third part of the creatures in the sea and so on. And we wonder, why does God say all green grass was burned up? It doesn't seem to fit the focus of the chapter. And it could be for a couple of reasons, or we could understand this in a couple of different ways. And finally, it will just indicate that God's wrath is on the church. But the Greek word translated as all is pause, and it's translated as all, often, oftentimes, or everywhere. It's also translated as any. Actually, in Revelation 9, in verse 4, it says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And in both places that the English word any was used, in Revelation 9:4, it's the same Greek word pas. And well, we can see the similarity of the topic of the verse here in Revelation 9:4. God is describing judgment day, and he is saying that to the locusts, who are a picture of the true believers, as God is utilizing them as a means of judgment in the day of judgment, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And that implies that the grass of the earth and green thing and tree is pointing to God's elect. Well, in Revelation 8, verse 7, all green grass was burnt up. Now, again, just as the third part would typically, or as we found in the Old Testament, point to the elect of God, yet in this chapter it's not. It is pointing to the corporate body, the unsaved within the congregations. So, too, would green grass identify with the elect, and yet here it is not. And why does it say all, or even if we use the word any, and any green grass was burned up? Well, one way of understanding this is that it is referring to that within the churches, that within the congregations of the world. All green grass within that limit, within those boundaries of the New Testament corporate body, is burned up. And that would fit the context of chapter 8, it would fit what God is describing. Another possibility is that since judgment began at the house of God, that's true, but it began with a grievous 2300 evening mornings period in which virtually no one was being saved anywhere in the world. It's also possible that God here is using the word paz or all green grass as a way of expressing that the judgment that began at the house of God is not only grievous within the church, but outside of the church for that first 2300 days, or 6 years and about 4 months, from 1988 until September 1994. That's also a possibility. I think the first way of understanding this is the correct way, that it is just simply referring to the church itself and the confines of the church. Well, anyway, let's move on to verse 8 of Revelation 8. And the second angel or messenger sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Mountains in the Bible, and we've discussed this before, represent kingdoms. And we've actually gone to many verses that show this in past studies, but let's go to one right now in Revelation 17 and verses 9 and 10. It says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. These verses are describing Satan's rule over this world throughout time. And first of all, God says it is like seven mountains. And notice how quickly he switches to kings in verse 10. After telling us there are seven mountains, then he says there are seven kings. Why does he make that transition? Well, because a king reigns over a kingdom. And basically, he's saying there are seven kingdoms and five are fallen. That is, by the time Revelation 1 was being written, as God moved the Apostle John to record these things late in the first century AD, five of Satan's kingdoms, it could be said, had come and gone. And therefore, five are fallen. One is, that is the present period, his kingdom from the cross that would continue until the time of the end. Because what would happen at the time of the end? Well, that is the one yet to come. The time of the end, he is loosed and he takes great authority as God allows him to enter into the church as the man of sin and to rule as the beast in a supreme way in the churches and in the world for a little season. And that's why Revelation 17 says the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. That is, the little season of the great tribulation is the seventh kingdom and the seventh king. And it is the seventh mountain. And so we can see from these verses how God connects the two ideas of mountains and kingdoms. Also, we find in Matthew chapter 21 that the Lord makes a connection with the fig tree and a mountain. In Matthew 21, beginning in verse 18, it says, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And we know that God likened Israel to a fig tree. And we also know that Israel is a type and figure of the New Testament churches. And it also happens that God cursed national Israel when the veil of the temple was rent in twain. He removed them from being his representative, the representative of the kingdom of God upon earth. Israel was God's representative to the nations of the world during their many centuries of time in which God had association with them. But in 33 AD, at the renting of that veil, that relationship ended, and therefore they no longer were God's representatives of his kingdom to the people of the world. And likewise, the New Testament church, at the time that Israel ceased to be God's representative, they became God's representative to the people of the world. The churches and congregations became the outward representation of the kingdom of heaven to the people of earth. And that would continue until the great tribulation, when judgment would begin at the house of God, and God would abandon the New Testament churches, just like he abandoned national Israel, and he would judge them and forsake them, and would end that relationship, and they would no longer be his representatives. They would no longer represent his kingdom to the people of the world. Now, the fig tree is able to represent both Israel and the church. And here, after cursing the fig tree so that it withers away, and if something withers, it normally is because it has no root, or there is no nourishment, no water coming forth to the tree, so it dries up and withers. And Christ is the root. Christ is the one that all must be connected to, or else they'll be like a withered branch that'll be cast away. And so God has left the nation of Israel of old, and now in our day, recently, he left the New Testament churches and congregations, and they also have withered away. And so after the disciples marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Notice verse 21 of Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. We can't help but notice how the cursing of the fig tree is tied to the casting of a mountain into the sea. After all, Revelation 8:7 tells us that Revelation 8:8, and the second messenger sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And so we quickly see the link, we see the identification God is making with the cursing of the fig tree and its withering away and a mountain being cast into the sea. The mountain is the New Testament church that is no longer God's representation. They no longer are speaking for God or representing him to the inhabitants of the world. They no longer have that close relationship with God. And as a result, it is as though that kingdom, that corporate kingdom that the church is typified, the kingdom of heaven, is destroyed. It is removed and cast into the sea. And that's what our verses is stating in Revelation 8:8. The great mountain is typifying the New Testament church at corporate, the church as a whole, 100% of it. It once gloriously represented God's kingdom and now no longer does. No church has any God-given authority any longer to operate. They have no authority to feed the sheep. Remember in Ezekiel 34, God said he would cause them to cease from feeding the flock. And so he has. He has ended the church age. He has removed all authority, taken away their status as his representative to the people of the world. And in a figure, he has set the mountain on fire because the churches that are under his wrath, and fire pictures the fury of God, the anger of God against sin. And so God's wrath is upon the churches and congregations of the world for their unfaithfulness in failing to adhere to his word and maintain submission to his commandments and to obey him. Therefore, he has cast them like a burning mountain into the sea. And that raises our next question as we study this verse. What does the sea represent? We know what the great burning mountain is representing, is typifying. But why was the mountain cast into the sea? Well, the sea is used in the Bible and can be used to represent God's wrath itself. As the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea, and they were destroyed in the sea, and yet it also can picture the unsaved people. In Isaiah chapter 57, we read in verse 20, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." The unsaved people themselves are likened to a troubled sea. And is that possible? That God is saying that he has taken those that once identified with him, his church, and he has given them to the wicked of the world? Well, that's very possible that is exactly what is in view, that God has turned the church over to Satan. We know that's a fact. That's what the Bible teaches. And Satan has his emissaries. And basically the church today is ran by the tares, by the wicked of the world, by unsaved individuals. All the true believers were commanded to get out. And they did get out, and they obeyed God, leaving only the tares behind. It is as though God took that great kingdom that once represented the kingdom of heaven, and he lit it on fire to indicate his wrath was upon it, and then he simply turned it over into the hands of wicked men. And this is what Revelation 8:8 is describing as it speaks of the great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. Now there's a couple of other bits of evidence that I think will confirm that. In Revelation chapter 17, where we read of Mystery Babylon, we read in verse 1 of Revelation 17, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now notice that she is sitting upon many waters, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So the woman, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, is called Mystery Babylon, and so forth. And this is picturing the time when the church was overrun and given over into the hands of Satan and became a part of his kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of darkness. And now the entire corporate church that once represented God no longer does. It now becomes an image to the beast. Well, look in verse 15 of Revelation 17, and there it tells us about those waters that the woman was sitting upon. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And again, the number 4 is in view because it is referring to the entire church throughout the whole world. It is all 4 points of the compass. It is a universal handing over of the corporate church to Satan in order to bring about the church's judgment and destruction. And the waters where the whore is sitting, and to sit means to rule, are identified as people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And that is the water or the sea that Revelation 8:8 is describing, when the great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now the sea here is again identified, it's defined by the third part. It's referring to that wherein there was once identification with God's elect, where God's elect were to be found for almost 2,000 years in the local churches and congregations of the world. And their water, their sea, their people became blood. And blood identifies with judgment. It identifies with the wrath of God when God turned the waters of Egypt to blood. It was no good thing. It was an awful thing. They could not drink of the waters. And here, the third part of the sea became blood. God's wrath is on the churches. This really is unmistakable language as we follow the Bible's guidelines and comparing scripture with scripture. And we search out these words. It is clearly revealing that God will judge the New Testament churches and congregations. And of course, we know that that has already occurred. We're living in the time when the judgment on the churches is past. And now God is judging the whole world, including the churches, including those within the congregations, because he's judging every unsaved individual in all the earth.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.